at noon. So glad to see you all coming in on this afternoon. Go ahead and take a moment if you haven't had an opportunity to just text someone, let them know that we are here and we are getting ready to get started on this afternoon. I want to continue from our topic on earlier this morning. So I don't want to start until I've gotten about, Yeah, let's try to get at least four more people on before we get started on this afternoon. I definitely don't want to belabor the time, but I don't want anyone to miss this particular topic on this afternoon before we actually pray. So if you would just take a moment and just say, hey, don't forget to get on 60 for 60 at noon. We are here. We are ready. We are getting ready to get started, and we don't want you to miss what is going on. What is going on? Good afternoon. Listen, this morning we begin to talk about redeeming what was exchanged. Redeeming what was exchanged. And we're going to continue on with that on this afternoon. Redeeming what has been exchanged. There is a spiritual principle that is often misunderstood because people approach this particular topic emotionally instead of legally. The principle is the reality of exchange, the reality of exchange. Scripture presents exchange as a real category, and it treats spiritual transactions as a matter of covenant, authority, and jurisdiction. And this is so important for us as believers because many believers have language for attacks. They have language for warfare, they have a language for oppression, but they do not always have language for authorization or access or claims. And so when a person only interprets a loss as an attack, they can spend years fighting systems while ignoring the root. Are you here with me on this afternoon? Amen. And so today what we're going to deal with is we want to talk about this matter of exchange on this afternoon because we want people to understand that when a person learns to discern legal access, they can apply redemption with precision. Did you hear that? When a person learns to discern legal access, they can apply redemption with precision. If you're off of mute, I'm going to ask you if you would please mute until it's time for us to pray. Amen. So on this afternoon, I want to give us some direction as to where we are going to pray because I want to teach just a little bit, and this is not meant to make us suspicious of every hardship, right? It is not meant to give us a framework for discernment. Some losses in our life are the result of living in a fallen world, okay? I want to put that out there, okay? All of us have experienced losses, and all of them have nothing to do with demonic warfare. Some of it has to do as a result of living in just this fallen world. Some losses are the consequence of choices that we have made. Some losses are direct spiritual opposition. Some losses are the fruit of permissions and covenants that were established long before we were born. But wisdom is learning how to tell the difference. Did you hear that today? Wisdom is learning how to tell the difference and then responding with the authority of Christ. And so with that foundation, we can enter the subject carefully and systematically. And so I want to explain to us what is covenant trade. Covenant trade. I want us to understand what covenant trade is. You first need to understand how trade works in any realm, okay? Trade is an exchange of value under terms. If you're writing that today, trade is an exchange. Some of you trade in the stock market, okay? Trade is an exchange of value, but it's under terms. Terms require authority, all right? Authority establishes what is legal, what is acceptable, and what will be enforced. Let me say that again. Let me reiterate that, because we're talking about exchange on today, right? So to understand trade, you've got to understand how trade works in any realm, including the one that we're in right now. Trade is an exchange of value that is under terms, all right? Terms require authority, and authority establishes what is legal, all right? And that is why the spiritual realm is not governed first by our intensity. It is governed by our jurisdiction. Diction. Some of us do not have jurisdiction to do certain things legally in the realm of the spirit, all right? The spirit realm is governed by rights. It's governed by covenants. And this is one of the reasons scripture treats vows and altars and idolatry and worship so very serious, because those actions do not remain private. They become legal openings that shape lives and households and bloodlines. And so now we can state the key idea accurately and then build it out from scripture. Again, I said that this morning, and I'm going to say it again. I'm going to keep reiterating it. Not every loss that you've experienced is an attack. Some of these losses are authorized because of covenantal trade, whether that trade was intentional or unintentional, whether it was celebrated or it was hidden, whether it was understood or misunderstood. When a loss is simply an attack, the enemy is pushing against your progress. When a loss is authorized, the enemy is enforcing a claim. Let me know if you understand that on today. If you understand, say, I understand.
I understand.
Okay. All right. I heard a couple of people say they understand, so I'm going to repeat it again because it's a lot of you on here. When a loss is an attack from hell, the enemy will push against your progress. But when a loss is authorized, meaning there was a covenant made somewhere, the enemy is enforcing a claim. Both of them require prayer. Both of them require warfare. But authorization requires something additional. It requires the cancellation of rights. Come on, talk to me today. And that this is why patterns are so important, because an isolated event can be many things, but a repeated pattern that follows a bloodline, that follows a family system, that follows territory, often points to something that has been permitted. When you see repeated cycles of loss, when you see repeated cycles of bondage, when you see repeated cycles of sickness, when you see repeated cycles of relational collapse, when you see repeated cycles of limitation, discernment begins to ask different kinds of questions. It begins to ask, what is being enforced? And on what basis is it being enforced? And so the question leads us into what I'm getting ready to talk about is whenever a trade is being made. Come on, we're talking about spiritual laws here today. The spiritual law of trade and authority. Whenever a trade is being made, the upper hand belongs to the one with the greatest recognized authority in that transaction. And so in the demonic realm, spiritual entities operate through systems of worship, through systems of covenant and permission. They do not create life. They exploit it. Okay? They cannot form your destiny, but they attempt to corrupt your destiny. And this is why trade language shows up in scripture around the soul. Jesus asked, what will a man give in exchange for his soul? That's the question that Jesus asked. The question assumes that exchange is possible. It also assumes that the soul has value beyond anything that the world can offer it for it. So that means the issue is not whether the soul is valuable. Of course it is. The issue is whether a person or a bloodline, a gatekeeper, can be pressured into negotiating what should never be negotiated. And at this point, it is important to clarify something. The enemy's system is not original. It is a counterfeit. It borrows principles and it perverts them. It mimics what God established as covenant, and then it twists it into bondage. And that idea becomes clearer when we look at biblical precedents that show how spiritual rights can be opened and how later generations can carry consequences. And scripture does not hide the reality that people have sacrificed. I talked about this morning. People have sacrificed sons and daughters to demonic powers. That's not something that you read in a book. That is something that people do. Amen. Psalm 106 speaks about it directly. All right. The point is to show that spiritual decisions can reach beyond the decision maker. When you're making decisions every day, you're trading. Every day you're making decisions, right? And when you're making those decisions, you got to understand that they go beyond you. See, this is the mindset that people have, that what I'm doing only affects you, affects me. No, 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 no. When you make spiritual decisions, they go beyond you. Hear that. When you make decisions, yeah, you grown, yeah, you over 18, yeah, you pay your own bills, but when you make spiritual decisions, you got to understand that those decisions go beyond your decision, you being the decision maker. We also see this in the record of certain kings, including Manasseh. And I already know we're gonna pray in just a minute, but I already know I'm gonna have to deal with this in the morning as well, because we're not gonna be able to hit all of this on this afternoon. And some of you are moving around and you're not even catching what's being said right now. So you're going to have to go back and listen. But I want you to understand, I said this morning, I'm going to say it again. The record of certain kings, like the King Manasseh, who practiced destructive worship, and he offered his children. He offered his children up in occult worship. His reign shows what happens when leadership becomes corrupted in its understanding of power. A person can pursue influence and security and dominance and end up paying with what God intended to be protected. And then scripture gives us a different kind of warning in Judges 11 when we were talking about Jephthah this morning. Jephthah vowed his future seed before victory was secured. He spoke under pressure. How many of us have made vows under pressure, and we went ahead and made a vow, and we made it to the enemy, right, based on what we wanted now? We sold our future for what we want right now. He attempted to use a vow as leverage. And what followed shows that words spoken in covenant language can become binding when they are offered at the wrong altar. I hope somebody's catching this afternoon. Scripture also shows that when you're exchanging in the realm of the spirit, when you're trading, that looks less ceremonial, but it is very spiritual. It is very spiritual. Esau traded his birthright in Genesis 25. He exchanged covenant inheritance for a bowl of porridge, of soup. His appetite, he was hungry, so he went ahead and sold his covenant inheritance. Saul traded his dynasty because he was impatient when he refused to wait for God's order. Israel, they repeatedly traded glory for idols. These are examples that teach us the same principle in different forms. A person can exchange their future for just a moment. A person can exchange inheritance because they want relief. Okay, I'm not going to go any further, but I'm going to go ahead and pray. And I want you to come in agreement today with what the Lord is saying to you. I will finish this in the morning if I can. If I can't, then I'll continue it at noon, because we've got to get this, people of God. We've got to. And while I'm praying, I want you to pray along with me. I don't care how many times you say, I repent of every sin. If you said it this morning, say it again today, because we need to keep repentance before the altar of the Lord. We got to keep our hearts turning away from sin and these agreements. We have to put it before the Lord, and we can't think, oh, I did it one time and that's it. No, no. Because the enemy is looking for any crack to weasel his way back in. So, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, we submit ourselves again to your lordship on today. We repent, Lord God, for every sin, every compromise, every form of idolatry, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, whether that was inherited, Lord God, whether we personally did it. We renounce every ungodly covenant. We renounce every vow that was made in ignorance. We renounce every agreement that was made in a time of trauma. We renounce every dedication that was offered to darkness, oh God, whether it was through a ceremony or whether it was through our persistent disobedience. Lord, Father, we know that you are our kinsman redeemer, and we acknowledge you, Lord God, as the one who's redeemed us, oh God. Hallelujah. We acknowledge that you, Lord God, are the one who recovers us, oh God, recovers us, Lord, recovers our soul, oh God. We acknowledge you as the one who restores what was stolen, and we declare that our life belongs to you by covenant, by the blood of Jesus Christ. We cancel every claim of ownership that is not from God, and we declare, Lord God, that we have been redeemed, and therefore we cannot be held as property of darkness. We declare, Lord God, today that we have been purchased, Lord God, by the blood of Jesus, and therefore our souls cannot be traded, Lord God, on the floor of hell. Lord God, we declare that over our children on today, that the enemy will not be able to exchange our children's soul, oh God, in the name of Jesus, due to, Lord God, an agreement. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that agreement has been overruled by your blood, by the purchase, Lord God, of the blood of Jesus Christ. We declare today that the cross has answered every accusation, and therefore every legal document written against our bloodline is now void in Jesus' name. Lord God, we revoke every permission that is granted by sin. We revoke every permission granted by occult involvement. We revoke every permission granted through idolatrous worship, Father. We revoke every permission granted through sexual sin, through hidden altars in our family line. We revoke every permission granted through distorted belief systems that resisted truth, Father. I declare today that every door opened by disobedience is now closed by repentance and the blood of Jesus. I bring my bloodline under the government of Jesus Christ on today. Let mercy speak where judgment was earned, Father. Let cleansing flow where defilement existed. Let truth expose what was hidden. Let light uproot what was planted in darkness, Father. Lord God, let generational cycles be interrupted today by the covenant of the authority of Jesus Christ. We dedicate our households to you today. We dedicate our gates to you today. We dedicate our minds to you today. And even as I'm praying, I want you to just begin to reiterate that on today out of your own mouth. Even if you said it this morning, come on, let's say it again. We rededicate our houses to you, Father. We dedicate, Lord God, our gates, our mind, our will, our emotions, our bodies. We dedicate it to the Lord Jesus Christ. We dedicate our children, our spiritual children, every seed that's connected to us, oh God, we dedicate it to you. We declare that no altar has permission to speak over what God has ordained. Father, we dedicate our money to you on today. Lord God, wherever there is any fractures, Lord God, in our money, Lord God, in provision, Lord God, coming to us, Father, we thank you, Lord God, on today, Lord God, for amending, Father, even, Lord God, when it comes, Lord God, to the relationship that we have, Lord God, with commerce, with economy, Lord God, with finances, with trade, Lord God. Father, we thank you now, Father, Lord God, that you, Father, are changing our mindset when it comes to that, Father. Wherever there's fractures, wherever there's brokenness, oh God, in the area, Lord God, of finances, God, I thank you today, Lord God, that as we dedicate it back to you, God, you are bringing restoration now in the name of Jesus to our finances, and you're bringing restoration to our soul. You're bringing restoration to our thinking, to our discernment, Father. You're restoring our consciousness. You're restoring our spiritual sensitivity. You're restoring our emotional stability, Father. You're restoring our desire for holiness. You're restoring our capacity to respond with conviction. You're restoring, Lord God, our hunger for the word of God. In the name of Jesus, Father, I pray today, Lord God, that even as prayer is coming forth, Lord God, even it is going forth on today, I thank you that you are pulling someone up out of their stupor in the name of Jesus, that you're pulling them up into the realm of joy. Lord God, you're bringing them up, Lord God, into the mind of God. Father, wherever there has been slackness, slothfulness, God, slothfulness, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, wherever, Lord God, the snail, Lord God, has been present in our life to slow our pace down, Father, we rebuke, Lord God, that snail-like behavior, Father. Lord God, wherever there's been apathy, in Jesus' name, I see the spirit of apathy that's been resting on the people of God. I see the snail-like pace that has been resting on the people of God and that has slowed you down, has slowed your momentum down, has slowed your belief down. But in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord God, that you are catching the people of God up in the name of Jesus. You are bringing them up from 1986. You are bringing them up, Lord God, from 1990. You are bringing them up, God, from 1975. God, you are bringing them up, oh God, in the name of Jesus, so that they, Lord God, can be in alignment with your timing in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we pray today, Lord God, we call them back, Lord God, that have been lost through ignorance, God, what the enemy stole, Lord God, their identity, God. We call them back, Father. Lord God, we call back stolen peace. We call back stolen joy. We call back stolen years. We call back stolen clarity. We call back stolen purpose. We call back stolen devotion. We call back the uncorrupted expressions of our gifts, God, so that everything God placed in us, God, it serves, hallelujah, the kingdom of God in purity, Father. And God, as we dedicate this time to you, as we dedicate our lives back to you, as we dedicate our bodies back to you, our psyche back to you, God, in the name of Jesus, we declare, Lord God, that there shall be notable testimonies. There shall be notable testimonies. There shall be notable testimonies in the name of Jesus. There shall be, Lord God, results, Lord God, from the prayers that we are praying on today, not because of us, but because of you, because you have brought us into insight and knowledge and wisdom, oh God, hallelujah. Lord God, we thank you, Lord God, that every subscription, every cancellation, oh God, in the name of Jesus, of covenants, demonic covenants, Lord God, is canceled off of our life and the life of our bloodline in the name of Jesus, oh God, never to be revisited, never to be opened up in the name of Jesus again. We thank you, Lord God, that wherever there is a pattern of loss, wherever there's a pattern of loss, what was authorized through inherited covenants, we declare that that covenant is terminated by the blood of Jesus. And we thank you that we have new ownership, new claim on our life through Jesus Christ. It's in Jesus' name we pray and we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you for joining 60 for 60 at noon. Glory to God. What is 60 for 60 for somebody that is new on the line on today? We meet here at 5 in the morning for 20 minutes. We meet here at noon for 20 minutes. And then in the evening, individually, we pray for 20 minutes. We're giving God at least, at a minimum, 60 minutes a day in his presence, 60 minutes in prayer, 60 minutes in meditation, 60 minutes in whatever posture the Lord has encouraged you to be in. We are giving him that. Amen. I will open the line on today. If there's anyone here with a testimony, if you would like to come forward, you're more than welcome to do so. If there's any prophets here on the line, Prophet Zaporia, Prophet DeMarcus, I'm not sure if you're here, Prophet Shan, but if you are, Apostle Fash, and there's a word that you have from this morning or even from this afternoon, you can release it at this time. But anyone else, if you have a testimony that you would like to share, the line is now open.
Good afternoon, more grace. This is Latasha, and I just want to give a testimony. Ever since I started the 60 for 60, I was invited by Prophetess Emporium and the North on the North Side, And my daughter, she has a scholarship for bowling as well as academics. And all of a sudden, the coach called her and told her not to report to practice for bowling. And she called me and she was like, "Mommy, I don't know why. They're saying my paperwork is not together. It's not right." And we did everything that we were supposed to do. And I just simply told her, I said, we call it cupcake. And I just told her, I said, "Hey, Mommy's been fasting and she's hooked up with some great people, some great intercessors." I say, "So something is stirring in the spirit. So, you know, we're going to have opposition." I said, "But we're going to trust and believe God that something is going to change, that they're going to call you and they're going to tell you that you can resume practice and that you will be bowling." And yesterday I received the call. She called me and she said, "Mommy, the coach called me and said everything is okay. I can go back to bowling." And so she's keeping her scholarship.
We rejoice with you and your daughter. Amen. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. God is mindful of everything in our lives. He is, you know, some people may say, "Oh, that's just bowling." No, God is mindful of everything. Praise everything God. That concerns us, it concerns him. Amen. And so we thank God for her scholarship. We know that she is going to go as far as the Lord would allow her to go in her purpose. And we give God glory that she dominates in the arena of athletics in Jesus' mighty name. Latasha, I hope to see you tonight at Disciple Nights. But if I don't, God bless you and more grace to you. Amen. Is there anyone else on the line today that may have a testimony that they would like to share? Testimonies help build our faith. Amen. So if you have a testimony that you want to share, we've already declared that we will see notable testimonies in the every month, actually, but by January 31st, amen, we are going to hear more and more notable testimonies. Will there be another? Amen. Well, we give God glory. Amen. We rejoice with you, Latasha, and we rejoice with each and every one of you that is here on this line. We do realize that many of you are at work and you are not able to unmute, but we do thank God for your presence that is here on today. Tonight, if you are in the Miami area or if you are further south, if you live in Miami, I know some of you don't live in Miami, but if you are in the 305 in Miami-Dade County or in Broward County and you would like to join us tonight for Disciple Nights, please email us at info@centmiami.com. If you don't have the address, we will send you the address of where we are meeting on the south end for those that live further south, like the Kendall area, Richmond Heights, Goulds, Homestead, Perrine, that area. Let us know. That's the south area. Let us know if you would like to visit Disciple Nights tonight. P.I.T. Cameron will be teaching, amen, on tonight, an amazing lesson. So you don't want to miss that. But if you're on the north end, if you're in the Broward area, or if you're in Miami, I want you to join us tonight in Miami. I will be teaching. I will be up in Miami tonight. So join us. If you're in Miami, you don't have the address, please email us at info@centmiami.com, and we will send the address to you. Know that we love you. Come back and join us in the morning at 5 a.m. Amen. We're going to be right back here, same place, same time, and we hope to hear you back. Have a good day and more grace.